One of the things that we hear in the news from time to time that grieves all of our hearts is this issue of children being abused in general and sexual abuse in particular. And so one of the things that's becoming more and more common, and I think it's a good thing, I think we all think it's a good thing, is to address this topic of child sexual abuse and how to seek to prevent it to the greatest degree that we can. I attended a seminar on the campus of Bob Jones University in the first week of November 2012, and the title of the seminar was Sexual Abuse, Preventing It in the Church. And what I share with you tonight in this first part will be taken primarily but not exclusively from Dr. David Shumate's presentation called Facing the Challenge, Five Misconceptions That Hinder a Right Response to Child Sexual Abuse. You might be thinking, why in the world would we talk about sexual abuse at a church? And I'm not going to be any more specific than that. So if some of you are getting a little bit nervous and wondering how specific are we going to be, that's as specific as I'll be. But just in a way that's helpful, there's five misconceptions we need to be aware of. Number one misconception is it can't happen here. I don't know why, but we just tend to think that way. You know, how in the world can it happen here? Let me share with you just basic statistics. One out of four girls, one out of six boys will be sexually abused at least one time. That's a lot. In this room, there are people that have unfortunately experienced this. To say that it could never happen here would be to be apathetic or naive. It very well could happen in any church setting. So we don't want to fall into that misconception number one if it can't happen here. Misconception number two. You say, well, we don't have to be concerned about it because we'll just look for people who do mean things to children because they have a certain look. Well, misconception number two is that those who abuse children have a certain look. They don't look any differently. You say, Greg, we'll just watch out for strangers. What is it called? Stranger danger. That's what we... No. Do you know that 80% of children that are abused by someone they know and trust? If we work hard at watching strangers, then statistically we will help protect maybe a small portion of people that are abused. 80% are taken advantage of by family members, relatives, coaches, church leaders, etc. It's most frequently by someone that the child knows and trusts. And when the truth comes out that it took place, nobody believes it. This conference, I heard a couple of different law enforcement people say repeatedly, you know, we would have an allegation of abuse. It would be from a church, a pastor, right, would stand up and say, officer, there is no way. Only to find out a few weeks later, way. As the person confesses that, yes, he has committed a crime. Misconception number three, some people would say that sexual acts towards children short of rape are not that bad. In reality, they're very bad. Child abuse is broadly defined and deeply hurtful. So even if someone is doing something less than what we think of as really, really bad, it's still very bad and it hurts children. And exactly what is quantified legally as sexual abuse varies a bit from state to state, but it is much broader than using the word rape, and it's very hurtful to children. We want to be sensitive to that. Hurtful because sometimes, unfortunately, what happens is children grow up thinking, you know what, something bad happened, I don't understand it, but no doubt it was my fault. You know, and that's just, it frequently is like that for those in this room who have been abused, perhaps you would understand that it's easy to think, I'm dirty, I did something bad. You're ashamed, and it kind of stays with you. And that's very hurtful for a child. And if we can stop that, we certainly want to try. Misconception number four, this would be coming in the words of the person who commits the abuse. It was just a moment of weakness. You know, I don't know what came over me. It was just a moment of weakness. Law enforcement tells us that that should never be believed, that child abusers tend to be multiple offenders that are highly manipulative and skilled liars. And what law enforcement communicated to us is really, when you have an allegation of abuse, you need to just turn it over to us. Not that we're putting you down, but you guys just believe people too readily. When you work with this day after day, you get used to people lying, and you learn not to believe people that are lying. And so the idea that, you know, it was just a moment of weakness, and I really didn't mean to, I don't know what came over me, that is, again, frequently just a lie that people who target children use. Which takes me to my final misconception, number 5. Allegations of abuse should be handled within the organization. That is not true, and we will not do that here. When there are allegations of abuse, we will turn them over to law enforcement. We will turn them over to DSS, the Department of Social Services, and we will let them conduct the investigation. That is what we're asked to do, and that's what we do. We're actually told that when an organization like ours would have a situation like this, if we try to investigate, we frequently make things worse because we help the person who perhaps is guilty to learn better how to cover his tracks rather than just letting law enforcement be involved immediately. I watched a video that was just incredible as part of this conference. It was not a church like ours. It was not as conservative as ours. I don't know if that matters. But they did an interview with a young man. He would have been in his low 20s, I guess. And he was interviewed. And he was talking to a individual interviewing him, saying, "You're not in the ministry here anymore. What happened?" "Well, people accused me of abuse. I've never hurt anybody. I've never done any of that. Why did they do that?" "Because they're jealous of me. I've been moving up. I have a good position. I have a good job. When you're effective with people and help people, people lie about you." And he went on and on, and I didn't know what was coming next in the video. So I'm watching this thinking, wow, that's really sad that people would destroy this guy that way. And then there's a little blurb that says something like 6 months later. And it's the same guy with the same person interviewing him saying things like this: "Yes, I sexually abused over a dozen people in the group. I carefully picked my victims. I always picked weak people because I knew if I picked somebody everybody knew popular that they might be believed. I would look for the people who came in that no one really liked and people thought they were odd, and I would take advantage of them because I knew if they ever claimed that I did that, no one would believe them anyhow." He had it all planned in his mind. And here's a person who was saying this was his plan. And it was just so shocking to watch that first part of the video, somebody who said, "I would never do this." And then he confesses to it all. And I just went, wow. And so again, that fifth one, allegations of abuse should be handled within the organization. That is not something we as the elders will do. So the 5 misconceptions, again, to say it can happen here, I pray by God's grace it won't, but it could. That child molesters have a certain look, that is certainly not the case. Most of the time, the child trusts that person. That certain acts short of rape are not so bad, they're very hurtful to children. That it's just a moment of weakness, that is not the case. Most of the time, the person has abused somebody in the past, sometimes frequently in the past. And then finally, that allegations should be handled within the organization. And that is not something what we will do. We will involve law enforcement immediately with no hesitation because we are committed to having a place that is safe for our children. Now, how do we make this practical? You have a book we're transitioning to part 2 called Guidelines and Policies for Ministry Workers with Children and Youth. And so if you go ahead and take that document and open it up, you'll notice on page 3 it says Policy Statement. In order for Trinity Bible Church to provide as safe and secure as an environment as possible for those whom we serve, to minimize vulnerability for the church and its workers to unwarranted accusation, the following policies and procedures have been adopted and will be strictly enforced. And again, this is not just to protect children, it's to protect us from false accusations. That certainly could happen. We'll have, number 2, the following volunteer working screening procedures. And number 1, to be considered to work with high school and below, that a person will complete and return this application. Number 2, based on the information provided, that application would be reviewed. 3, If the applicant appears to be appropriate for ministry work, at least two of the references may be checked. You're agreeing to that when you fill this out. Number four, any information indicating that an applicant poses a threat to others or has any prior history of physical or sexual abuse directed against another person will result in the immediate removal of the individual from consideration. So let me be clear. God forgives any sin. And we want to be careful that we don't treat sins differently. If there is a person who has abused a child in the past, that person is no less than me. That I need forgiveness as much as that person needs forgiveness. But we're saying that that person would never be involved in children's ministry as part of Trinity Bible Church, high school or below. That person could serve Christ in other ways that are wonderful, but not in ministry of high schoolers or below. And then number five, the person filling this out agrees to a background criminal check. Supervision on the bottom of page three. At least one adult over the age of 18 shall be present at every function and in each classroom or enclosed area during every ministry program. So, for example, occasionally someone will say, hey, Greg, can you open up the activity center for me? And it'll be an adult, and I'll have to say, okay, who's going to go in? And are you going to stay there as long as it's open? Or were you going to leave before it's locked because I can't open it? Because what if you go in and do a few things and then the door's unlocked and you leave and there's children in there, but there's no adult over the age of 18? That would violate our policy. We can't have anywhere where there's children where there's not somebody over there. You say, who? Number two, a male worker must never be alone with a single child or youth in a private setting on or off premises. That means for those who work with teens, you cannot be alone in a car. For those who pick up children, a male, you can't. Guys, me, I am not allowed to pick up a child for vacation Bible school. If it's just me and that person in the car, I'll have to grab one of my daughters or one of you brothers or grab my wife and say, hey, can you come? Because I cannot be in a car with the child. Guys, all it takes is one accusation by that child, and my ministry is gone. So it's not just to protect the child, it's to protect us. Now, ladies, you would be welcome to do that if you believe it's safe and as you talk to your husband or other family members, etc. Number three, workers will meet with individual children or youth on church premises only during regularly scheduled church functions, unless permission has been secured from the child's or youth parent or guardians beforehand. So if you ever were to have contact with somebody at Truth Trackers, even in your Sunday school class, etc., if he's a minor, we'd always be checking with parents, getting permission for that. Up on the top of page four, workers will have meetings with children or youth only in rooms with doors which are open and that have been fitted with unobstructed windows. Five, workers should arrive at least 10 minutes before scheduled activities. Keep watch over those in their care until all have been picked up by an authorized person. Workers should not send children out to find their parents, should not release any child to await transportation. And again, our Truth Trackers workers, as I understand, have been doing a good job, and we appreciate that. Now, notice work restrictions on the next point here, having to do with going to the restroom and such. Number one, children over the age of five. At least one adult female should take girls to the restroom. At least one adult male should take boys to the restroom. But please notice how you're working with children, and here's this first or second grader, guys, and he wants to go to the restroom. What would happen? A guy would take him. I will not be in the restroom with him. You know, can I go to the restroom? Hey, Pastor Greg, can you take him? Yes. I walk into the restroom. Young man, will you stay here at the door? I look inside, it's safe, there's no one here. Young man, go ahead, use the restroom. I am standing at the door. I will not be in the restroom with a young boy alone. And that is true for all of us men. We have to understand this, okay? Number two, children 5 years of age or younger, they might need some special help in the restroom, should be assisted as needed in the restroom by an adult female. A young boy needs to use the restroom and might need some special help. I'm going to find my wife, one of my adult children. They will take that young boy in there. You would not. As a male, we're going to let the ladies take care of that. Okay? Number three, Workers should never touch a person's private areas except when necessary, as in the case of changing a diaper. And then, just to digress a bit, we have a second document, and you don't have it in front of you. I do have a copy here that I brought that has to do with our nursery policies, so I'm going to leave this and just go to nursery policies real quick. For our nursery, women 18 years of age or older are allowed to work in our nursery. You say, how about married men? I am not allowed to work in the nursery at Trinity Bible Church unless my wife is with me. Married men only when working with their wives. Guys, if your wife is not with you as a married man, you are not allowed to work in the nursery. Number three, girls 12 years of age or older when working with women 18 years of age or older. And then boys 16 years of age or older when working with their mothers. So we will never have a boy working in the nursery unless he's 16 or older and he's working with his mom. You should never see a boy working in our nurseries. Every one of you ladies have permission from the elders to say, you're here in a kind way. Hey, where's your mom? I know you're 16. Oh, your mom's not here? Okay, well, I'm not sure if you knew about this. You see, and if you're uncomfortable, go and get one of the nursery directors, and they'll help with that. Never a boy working in the nursery unless 16, and then he must be with his mom. Again, never me as a pastor. I'm not allowed unless my wife is with me. And then at least one worker in the infant nursery should be a female, 21 years of age or older. All workers in the infant nursery should be 18 years of age or older. And then it goes on to talk about this. Now, one other item on the nursery side of things. Workers should never touch a child's private areas except when necessary in the case of changing a diaper. Diapers should be changed by a parent of the child or a female 18 years of age or older, which means if I'm working in the nursery and my wife is with me, which she has to be or I'm not allowed, I am not allowed to change a diaper. I just wanted to be clear on that. It's not that I don't have a servant's heart, okay? It's just, but I think you understand that we're just trying to be cautious. And in the world we live in, we need to be cautious. I'm back now to the handout you have. And you can get this, just email the office, and we'll be glad to send you a copy of the nursery policies. Back to the youth workers policy. Under work restrictions, workers should avoid the appearance of impropriety, such as older children sitting on workers' laps, kissing, embracing others. We need to be careful, especially guys. Again, for those of you that work with truth trackers and stuff, there should never be a child on your lap. There just shouldn't be an older child bouncing around. If he wants to be on your wife's lap, that's fine. On your daughter's lap, that's fine. On your lap, no. And again, we want to be kind, but even in the times I've been in truth trackers, occasionally, there's one of the young ladies that I know the family of, and they'll come up to me and jump in my lap. Hi, Pastor Greg. And I'm not unkind, but I smile and say, hey, how you doing, sweetie? And gently stand up, and just because that would not be appropriate. Again, on my wife, on my daughters, that's fine, but not as a guy. And number five, workers, again, are to release children in their care only to parents, guardians, etc. Also, we're concerned about discipline, and I think this goes without saying, but just so we read it, workers are never to spank, hit, grab, shake, or otherwise physically discipline a child. You say, that boy needs a spanking, and if his mom is not going to do it, no, please, no. Pray for them, okay? Take mama out for coffee and pray for her and let her know you love her and reach out to them, but never, we would not do that. And disciplinary problems should be reported to the worker's supervisor, to an elder, or to a parent. We want to let the parent know. Okay, next, notice of injury, abuse, or molestation. Workers who become aware of any injury, abuse, or molestation connected with any TBC activity will immediately inform their supervisor or an elder of the same. And then number two, any supervisor who becomes aware of any injury, abuse, or molestation connected with any TBC activity will immediately inform an elder of the same. And there's a notice of injury form. We have those in the office. And then number three, the elder, as he's aware of possible abuse or molestation of a child or youth, will promptly inform DSS or law enforcement, the parents or guardians of the child or youth, and the other elders. Again, we go to DSS, we go to law enforcement, and that's what we will do, and we'll do that immediately. Now, I just real quick, and I've heard this, and I know it can be a well-meaning comment, but Greg, if it's within a family, it could destroy the family. Guys, if it's in the family's already destroyed. And we want to follow the laws that are set up. You say, but what if somebody had to go to jail? If somebody from Trinity pulled a gun at a bank and robbed the bank, that would be criminal activity. If they ran to my house and said, Pastor Greg, help me, I would pray with them, I would show them love, and I would say, let's call the police. That would be the right thing for me to do. You would do that as well. This abuse, even if it's within a family, it's no less criminal behavior than pulling a gun and robbing a bank. And so it's something that we do want law enforcement involved in. And then finally, violation or policy of procedures. Workers must promptly notify their supervisors of any activity that violates any of the policies or procedures contained therein. And then a note on the top of page 5, any supervisor or elder becomes aware of a violation contained herein will take all the necessary steps to ensure compliance, etc. Okay? So here's what we're asking everybody that works with high school or below. On page 7, there is a form that is filled out with your personal information. You would fill that out, and then notice, please, the middle. Have you at any time ever been arrested for any reason? Now, to clarify, we're not talking about getting a ticket from a police officer for breaking the speed limit. We're talking about being put under arrest. Have you ever been convicted of or pleaded no contest to any crime? Just so you know, we have had more than a couple people of Trinity that say, yes, this has happened, and I meet with them. And so just in case you're nervous, God saves people, and it's wonderful. And if you say, you know, when I was young and whatever, maybe I didn't know Christ, and I kind of broke into a car one night and I stole something, and it was so wrong, and Greg, I'm ashamed of it, but I wanted to be honest. And then we talk about that. And if that's what took place, and we take a look at your testimony now, maybe perhaps you still can work with children. I don't want you to think that if you've ever been arrested or pleaded no contest or guilty to something, you immediately would not be able to work with our youth. That is not the case. And so what happens if this applies to you, then I would speak with you or another elder. Next, have you ever engaged in or been accused of any child molestation, exploitation, or abuse? In all honesty, if the answer is yes, then we would say we would ask you not to be involved in youth work if you've ever been accused of this at all. It doesn't mean you can't serve Jesus Christ. And I'm not thinking of anyone in particular that would perhaps be here, but just in case you are, the blood of Christ forgives you. And so I want to be careful. The gospel is powerful. No one is a second-class Christian. But if that's been an issue in the past, then we would say there's other ministries for you, just not with high school or below. And then you would answer these others. Are you aware of having any traits or tendencies that could pose any threat to children, any reason why you should not work with children, etc.? And then you would fill out the back, page 8 as well, about past churches, references. You would read the applicant verification and release. And having read that, you would then, if you would choose to, print this and sign this. Even if you've done this in the past, this is a brand new beginning. And we're asking that all people that work with high school or lower in any ways part of the ministry of Trinity would read through this. Let me inform you that my heart on this is we just want to honor Jesus Christ. And if you want to call me, you're welcome to. If you want to meet with me, let me know. I'll meet with you. And that's the heart of all of the elders as part of Trinity. We want to have a church that honors Jesus Christ. If there's something else we should be doing that we're not, talk to us, let us know. Because our goal is to see children come to Christ, not to be hurt in any way, and certainly we want to protect our workers from any type of allegations that would be inaccurate. Let's close with prayer this evening. Father, it's a joy. It's a joy to see the gospel work in hearts, to be involved in ministry, the gospel that changed our lives. It's a joy to see it changing other lives. And we thank you, Lord, for all of those that are so actively involved in ministry as part of Trinity. Lord, help us to be blameless stewards of the people that worship here, that attend here, that visit here. Lord, help us always to conduct ministry in a way that would make it hard for something really bad to happen. Lord, that we could protect the children
and that we also could protect one another as we seek to honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.